Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Christian author and speaker, Troy Black. We're praying that, as you listen, God will reveal His love, grace, and truth to you in a deeper way. After listening, don't forget to connect with Troy on YouTube and Facebook. May this message from Troy inspire you in your walk with Christ.
Hey y'all, this is Troy Black. I'm so excited about this video today because I've got a really special guest with me today. This is my awesome friend, mentor, and pastor. This is Pastor Tim Ingram, and he is going to bring this awesome message that I actually got to watch, the message that he delivered to his church through Facebook and through YouTube this past weekend. And while I was sitting there, I was sitting at a friend's house, and I was watching this message, and I just started to feel God's presence really strong. And I'm sitting there listening, and I realized God is speaking to my heart right now, and He's saying, this is what God is saying to the body of Christ during this season. This is what He's saying, and so I really hope that you enjoy this message, and I hope that you get something out of this. So the first question I want to ask you is, what is Satan's plan for all of these conspiracy theories that are floating around right now? And then the second question, I'm gonna ask both questions up front. The second question is, how does God want us to respond as the body of Christ?
Those are great questions, Troy. Let me just say first and foremost, I am a huge fan of this guy. And for all of you that are watching, you are in good hands. This dude is an amazing young man. I love what God is doing through his ministry. I love his fans. I'm a fan of Troy Black, so it's an honor to be here today. I appreciate you having me. And I think you're right on. I think it is very clear that we have walked into a time that is unprecedented in our generation. There's nothing like what we are experiencing right now. The state of our entire world. So it's very easy to kind of boil everything down to see very clearly what the enemy's doing and what God is saying in response to it, because everyone's on the same page. We're all walking through the exact same situation.
Oh yeah.
And I think to ignore that or say that this is some sort of coincidence, I think is really foolish.
Mm-hmm.
But as Christians, we have to be able to recognize what the enemy's trying to do so that we can press into the Lord and say, God, how do I respond to this? If we're all walking through the same thing, what is our response as believers, as children, as sons and daughters of God, where we can keep our heart in the right place, stay committed and dedicated, stay on task, on mission to what God is calling us to do? And I think to your question, it's really easy to spot Satan's plan because it's the same thing that he's done since the very beginning of time.
Yeah.
Genesis chapter 2, God puts two trees in the garden and tells Adam and Eve, don't touch. As a matter of fact, you can have anything else that you want, but out of these two trees, you can have the tree of life, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I don't want you to touch that. And we see Satan enters at that moment and makes them question God and makes them say, you know, no, God understands that He wants this for you. He wants you to understand good and evil. He wants you to become like Him. And so He plays on this human desire, our human nature, to want to know. We want to know. We want to dig in. We want to get to the bottom of it. We want to push in. And certainly knowledge is not a bad thing. But God says, I want you to trust me for what is right and what is wrong. But yet when we get into this place where we're trying to figure everything out for ourselves, we play into the same trap that the enemy has done for thousands of years, all the way back to the beginning of time. We fall victim to the same trap. And here's the thing. He's really good at it. And he doesn't have to come up with new tactics because we always fall into it. And when we see conspiracy theories and mistrust, when we see all the things that are happening in our world, and they are everywhere, I call it just clickbait nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
When it's everywhere, people are trying to get us to believe one way or another way, and you know, call you guys are a bunch of sheep because you're believing the narrative. Well, it's really easy for us to get confused, and then we start spending our time digging in, trying to figure out what is that thing that we can find that we can hold it over everybody else's head and say, well, I know more than you do, but you guys are a bunch of sheep and I'm the one that really knows this. And we see Christians start infighting and pushing each other into a place where we're falling farther and farther away from what God is doing and right into the plan of the enemy. It's the exact same thing that he's always done, and we still fall victim to that today. We're seeing it on an unprecedented level. Christians are turning on each other, backbiting, accusatory, holding knowledge over each other's heads, and it's become a different pandemic that we're fighting. It's in response to the coronavirus. That's one thing. In response to that huge fear battle, in response to the financial battle that's happening. I mean, we've got battles happening on multiple fronts. We're now adding this battle to know. We've got to know. I've got to know. I've got to figure this out. And it's become a huge waste of time. Everyone has this desire to be woke. You know, I've got to be woke. And that's a problem for us as believers.
I don't even know what that means. So.
Well, to be in the know, I've got to have my eyes opened. I've got to be able to understand things. That's a word in our culture today that I think it's become kind of at the forefront of what we're seeing in Christianity. We want to know. We want to be woke. Yeah. And it's funny there in Genesis 2 when it says that Adam and Eve eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree that God told them not to eat from. It says, and then their eyes were open. And instead of knowing more and discovering more, becoming like God, now instead it says they felt shame. They felt regret. They realized that they were naked. And then they began to push themselves away from God because they realized that they had done wrong. And we have the exact same situation falling right now in our world. We want to know. We want to be woke. We want to be in. We want to figure out the conspiracies and get to the bottom of this and who's responsible and who's to blame. And then we end up feeling more and more ashamed, farther and farther away from God. We lose relationships with people that we should be in fellowship with because we're drawing hard lines in the sand of what I know and what you know. Is this right? Does this agree with my narrative? And I think the important thing that we need to see here is that we have to resist the gravitational pull to always know instead of trust. And this is God's plan in the beginning. Getting back to your point, what does God want for us? He wants us to trust Him.
Yeah,
He wants us to trust Him.
I love what you said about the garden and the two trees, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then the tree of life. And I feel like so many Christians, and I lived this way for a long time. I feel like a lot of Christians see that the true story of Adam and Eve in the garden, and also how that plays out nowadays in our walk with Christ.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people see it as there's all these things that God has said no to, and there's only like one thing that He said yes to, and yet it's just not the case.
Exact opposite.
There's so many trees. God said you can eat of any tree in the garden,
mm-hmm.
You know, just don't eat of this one, right. You know, and it wasn't, like you said, it's really not about the fact that that tree, I don't think, was worse than the rest or anything. It was about the fact that could they trust God with what He said or not?
Were they willing to trust him? You into what is right and what is wrong?
Yeah.
Instead of you trying to find out for yourself and pointing a finger and saying, now I know and you don't know. That's the same battle that we've fought since the beginning.
Yeah.
We want to know, and we want to be able to say, I know more than you. We want to be able to dig in and research and find. And God is saying, yeah, you can do that, or you can trust me and let me begin to reveal things at the pace that is right for you. Reveal things from the tree of life. Reveal things from the relationship aspect of our walk with God. This is critical in the life of believers, that we have to resist the gravitational pull. And it's there. It's pulling us constantly. That I want to know. I want to figure it out. I want to make sense of all this. And God's saying, yeah, but will you listen to me and let me reveal what is right? Because ultimately, what really is truth besides the Word of God?
Yeah.
How do you know that what you're diving into is worth your time? Mm-hmm. How do we know that this is actually going to be something that encourages us or helps us to grow? Or is it just pushing us into a place where we're making hard decisions that God didn't intend for us to make? When we see this starting to become a source of contention among believers, it's obvious this is an attack.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a good thing. But we wander into it, and I'm just as guilty as anybody else. I'm not pointing my finger at anybody else.
I know.
I'm just as guilty.
I'm personally really bad at researching. Like my wife Leslie, she loves to research, and she will look up anything. You know, she'll find things out, and she'll say, "Oh, you didn't know about that?" And I'm like, "No, I didn't know about that." And so sometimes I do. I get this, I don't know. You know, like it's like a self-righteous feeling. Like I'm thinking, like, "Oh, I don't do this as much as other people." But the truth is, I just do it in different ways. You know, like I might not look into something as much, but I might be thinking, "Well, I know this, and they don't know this." You know, so I'm, you know, better than them or whatever, and it's just not true. And that really is the enemy's plan. And that's the thing that gets me. It's like, even if you are right about something, you know, even if you can't really know a lot of times if you're right or wrong, but even if you are right, if you're using that information to cut other Christians down or other people down, then you've already lost. You know, you've already fallen into the same trap.
Was it worth it?
Yeah.
No, it's not worth it. I think we have to see that knowing more and digging into these conspiracy theories, becoming a part of the narrative that we're seeing all around our world, it doesn't take pressure off of you. It actually puts pressure on you. And this this is what we have to realize, that it doesn't make you better. And we have this myth in our minds thinking, if I could just find out more, if I could just get to the bottom of it, then I can relax and finally understand. And it never ends. Mm-hmm. It actually gets worse. But God's word is very clear in Isaiah 26. It says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you." And this is speaking of our relationship with the Lord.
That's awesome.
Knowing that what really takes pressure off of us, what pushes us into a place of perfect peace, is when we keep our mind on what is right, what is good. It says, "Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is the everlasting rock." And that's really what I feel like the Lord is screaming at the church right now, saying, "Hey, I want you to come back into relationship with me. Listen to me. Be in a place where I'm able to reveal things to you and show you things that only he knows." And by the way, his word is truth. And so when we constantly fall into line with this clickbait pop culture, the voice of these prophets that are peddling fear and anxiety, we get away from listening and trusting, resting in the feet of the Lord, and that's where perfect peace comes from. We're seeing the absence of peace. There is no peace, and it's our fault.
This is Troy Black. I pray the Lord is speaking to you through this podcast. We'll get back to the message in a second, but I want to take a minute to tell you about how you can support this ministry. I'm able to create videos, books, podcasts, and other materials because of faithful supporters who value my content and who want to help me share the gospel with as many people as possible. All I ask is that you would pray about becoming a part of the work we're doing. Learn more by going to troyblackvideos.com. I hope you're blessed as you continue listening.
Okay, so let's say I'm a believer and I'm asking the question like, what can I do practically to respond the way that God wants me to respond to all the conspiracy theories out there, to, you know, the false information, the true facts, whatever is floating around on the internet,
the fake news,
you know, everything that's out there. How does God want me to respond, and what can I do practically about that?
You know, something that I'm asking our church to do, something that I'm holding myself accountable to, is to spend just as much time, at least just give God equal time. Spend just as much time in your word and in relationship with him, spending time getting to know him in your quiet time, that you are spending time on social media, researching things, researching, diving into this conspiracy theories. I'm not going to sit here and say that it's going to be that something I'll ask people to do is just turn all that stuff off, because there is some value in some of those things. Some of those things are right. But how do you know what's right, what's wrong? How do you know which is a waste of my time? You only know that from spending time with God. And God begins to lead you through the power of his Holy Spirit to what he wants you to do. Proverbs is very clear that says, we trust in the Lord with all of our heart. We're not to lean on our own understanding. It's just not enough. My understanding, my intelligence, my wisdom, it's not enough. It'll never be enough. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't designed to be enough. The good news is God's wisdom is more than enough for me. And the more the time that I spend in his presence, just practically, and it's so simple, but yet we find ourselves wasting so much time digging into things that just don't matter, and we neglect our time with the Lord, and it becomes this competition, which is exactly what the enemy wants us to do. Mm-hmm. So practically, give God just as much time is one thing that I would say would be our mandate as Christians. At least give God equal time here to balance this out. Another thing is, make sure that whatever you're sharing, whatever you're posting, whatever you're putting out there for other people to see is, you know, let it pass the biblical test of, is this pure? Is this lovely? Is this right? Is this coming from a place of love? Is this something I can verify through God's word? Or is this just something that's flashy? Is this clickbait? Is this something where I'm going to end up drawing more hard lines in the sand and telling people, look how right I am and how wrong you are? I'm woke and you guys are a bunch of sheep.
I feel like, yeah, that's the thing. If I have spent time in God's word and I've spent time in his presence, or I've spent time, you know, worshiping the Lord, praying, whatever it might be. And I don't, to be honest, I don't, and some of y'all who see my videos, you know this about me, but I don't always do that in the morning. Sometimes I spend a lot of time doing that in the evening just because that's when it comes naturally to me, right. You know. But some people are really morning people and they do that in the morning, you know. And some people need to do that in the morning or else their day is not good. But if I haven't done that, and I start scrolling through Facebook, you know, and I start sort of scrolling through whatever it might be, and I start hearing all these different competing voices, then I am not hearing God's voice in that moment telling me, hey, this is not good, you know.
Or you're putting God through a filter.
Yeah, and his voice is getting drowned out. But if I have spent time in his word,
Yeah.
Then his voice is actually drowning out those voices.
That's good stuff, man.
And it's, and, you know, my day is so much better after that. My week is so much better. And I think, honestly, like, the walking through seasons like this, we're going to look a lot more like the light that we're supposed to look like if we've got his voice being filtered into our lives, and then we're, that's what we're putting out. You know, we're not putting out the junk that we're feeding in, but instead we're putting out what God is putting inside of us.
Jesus was clear in John 17. He speaks over his disciples and he's praying for them. He said, Lord, sanctify them with truth, and your word is truth. And unfortunately, when we're not spending time in God's word, we can't be sanctified. Sanctified means to be set apart, to become different. And if we're believers in Christ, we are supposed to be set apart. We're not supposed to fall in line with the narrative of the rest of the world. That's how right. do we do that? By spending time with the truth. Spending time with the truth is the only way that you'll ever understand the difference between truth and a lie. You have to be able to understand what is real. They say that with bankers, you know, they, how do you spot counterfeit money? And most of the counterfeit money that you'll see, it looks exactly the same. But the difference they say that they can spot it in is not having to use those little highlighter pencils that turn the $100 bills brown, but instead it's just by the way that it feels. You handle the real thing so much that you can instantly feel the difference between what something is real and not real. And this That's is where awesome. We need to live as Christians. If you're not spending time handling the word of God, if you're not spending time in his presence, if you're not eating from the tree of life in the context of our relationship with him, you will never spot the fake. Mm. You can't. It's so cleverly hidden. And from the beginning of time, it's been the same narrative over and over. And here's the heart of the matter is that there are really some things that you were never meant to know. There are some things that are not good for you to know. I remember with my son, I took him to the gym with me when he was really little, and he would spend time in the kids' play area. And as I was leaving, he says, Dad, I need to go to the bathroom. Well, I had my daughter with me at the time, and she was little. I said, well, son, go in the locker room, and I'll wait for you right here, and I'll hold my daughter. And so he walks into the men's locker room and was in there about 2 seconds, turns around, walks back out, and he has this white look on his face. I'm like, are you okay? Did you go to the bathroom? He said, nope. I'm like, what happened? He goes, there are naked men in that room, and I'm little. And, you know, I realize, wait, he is way too little. He doesn't understand what's going on here, and he immediately is like, I don't need to see that.
Oh, my but, gosh.
You know, if we would understand that we are the sons and daughters of God, and there are some things that God says, this is not good for you.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, in Revelation, the book was written by John, and the Bible says that in Revelation 10, in verse 4, that John was writing some things down that he was seeing about the end of time, and God said, hey, wait a minute, don't write that down. This is something I'm going to reveal to you, but I'm not going to tell anybody else. I don't want them to know yet. This is just for you. And that's the beautiful part of being in a relationship with God. There are things that he wants to reveal to you that he's not going to show anybody else.
Wow, yeah.
There are also some things that he says, I don't want that written down. That's just for you. Or you know what? That's not for the general public. I love that about our God, that there are some things that are not good for us to know, and we have to be able to trust him with what's good for me and what's not good for me. What things we say, okay, God, I'm little. I don't need to see that. But that's where we are, I think.
That's awesome. All right. Thank you so much, Pastor Tim, for being here.
No,
that
my
was
pleasure.
Awesome. I feel like it's a timely message we all need to hear right now.
Thank you. Thank you.
If you enjoyed that and if you want to hear more messages from Pastor Tim Ingram, you can check out highridgelv.com.
Yeah, that's our website.
And then you can also find him and find his church on Facebook, and it's at High Ridge Longview on Facebook. Thank you so much again for being here. And
my pleasure.
Thank you all for watching. I hope you enjoyed this video, and I hope you check out some more of my videos on YouTube. See you later.
You can connect with Troy Black on YouTube or Facebook. For more content from Troy Black, or to find out how you can support this ministry, visit troyblackvideos.com.